Good morning. Welcome to our Sunday morning service here at Central. We are glad to have you with us. For all those in the auditorium, it's good to see you. A few months back, if someone looked out from the podium here at one of our services, there would be a very tiny number here. And we're glad that period is over and we're able to assemble together in the building again. So welcome to each one of you. And for all those who are joining us via our streaming services, we're very glad to have you with us too. Wherever we are this morning, we're joining together to worship God, and that is a great thing. So now, as we get ready to enter into the worship of our Heavenly Father, let's do so and praise Him with our whole hearts.
Our first hymn is going to be Faithful Love, number 18. And it will be followed by number 19, Come Thou Almighty King. Be 18, immediately followed by 19. If it's convenient, would you please stand as we sing? Be seated, please. Number 19.
Thank you.
Now we will go to our Father in prayer.
Let us bow together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we do approach you now as humble children, as we approach your throne of majesty. For Father, you are the King of all, and you are the perfect Creator who has made all things. And Father, we're thankful that you treat us and love us as your children. For Father, we know that we are in need of guidance. We're thankful, Father, that you let us come to you in prayer, knowing, Father, that you hear our prayers and welcome them. And so, Father, we pray to you now that you might look upon us with grace and mercy, for we are imperfect, but we are your children. Father, we thank you for your abiding presence. And as we look out and see the seasons changing, we realize, Father, that all things that you have set in place are constant, and that you, Father, are unchanging, which gives us confidence and gives us a reason to be hopeful. For Father, we believe and look forward to heaven one day. We're thankful, Father, for so many things in which you bless us. We're thankful, Father, for the opportunity to be together, to assemble as your people. And we are thankful, Father, for the Bible. Thankful, Father, that we have your word, and help us always to look to it for guidance, for comfort, when we are full of doubt and uncertainty. And certainly, Father, these are times when we are doubtful, for everything seems to be changed and different from what it has been. But help us, Father, not to center our thoughts on the issues and problems that face us, but rather on you. For Father, it is but a brief time that we will be here on this earth. And help us, Father, rather to focus on eternity, looking forward to the time when we will no longer be facing health issues or financial issues or doubts or sorrows, but all will be perfect as we spend eternity in heaven. Help us, Father, to make sure our hope by ever drawing closer to you. Father, we want to pray and ask your blessings on those who are facing health issues at this time. We would offer up to you, Father, Johnny Trent, as he is facing difficult decisions, and we pray, Father, your blessings on him. Pray, Father, for Kim Seaton and her upcoming surgery. We pray that all would go well with that, and that she might indeed find relief and healing after that surgery. There are so many, Father, who are dealing with day-to-day struggles, where every day is filled with difficulties. And we would pray, Father, that if we have the opportunity, that you would use us to bless and encourage and do what we can to help those who struggle every day. which causes us, Father, to want to thank you for the degree of health that we have, for the abilities that we have, and thank you, Father, for blessing us with our needs. Father, we want to thank you for the Holy Spirit and all that it does for us in guiding us and making us aware of your presence. And Father, we do thank you for our Savior Jesus Christ, for his love, for his obedience, what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us. For truly, Father, that is faithful love, and we are thankful, Father, for it. And we would pray that we would be faithful and diligent in our walk with you each day, that we might grow closer to one another as we grow closer to you. We want to thank you, Father, for our friends and our family and all those who bring us joy and mean so much to us in this world. We want to thank you, Father, for our elders as they shepherd us here together as a congregation. We pray, Father, your blessings on them. And likewise, we would pray your blessings on our ministers here who labor diligently to share with us your word. But help us, Father, to be students of your word and diligent in our study that we might grow day by day. Father, we thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 71, As the Deer, will be our hymn before the scripture reading and the lesson. Number 71. Our invitation hymn will be 909, Hark the Gentle Voice.
Good morning. If y'all would like to read along with me, I'll be reading from Psalms, 139, from the King James Version. starting with verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearful and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all the members were written, in continuance with fashion, when as yet there was none of them.
It was about a year ago when I heard this statement for the first time. It was a man that was in a class I was teaching at the prison in Mountain City. And he said that he'd been given advice when he first came into prison that said, don't abuse prison. And I thought that strange. It just didn't sound right. And then he went on to explain. He said, the idea is that you're here. It's not the place where you want to be. But don't miss the opportunity to get your life right, to turn around those things that need to be turned around and to correct the thinking and the activity that got you here. And I thought that was a powerful statement. And I think we could say something similar, couldn't we? Don't abuse the pandemic. It's not where we want to be. Our lives have been drastically affected, and we don't know when they'll return to what we once knew as normal. But we ought to say to ourselves, well, let's not abuse this opportunity. Let's use it for good. Let's take advantage of this time to really strengthen our souls. Since we're not able to get out and do as many things as we once did, we have more time. Why not use that time in studying God's word and praying, in calling people and checking on them, serving the needs of others? Let's not abuse the pandemic. And with God's help, we'll come out of this much stronger than when we went in. But it is so good to see you this morning. Many are here at the building, not as many as we'd like to see, but under the circumstances, we know that's the way it must be for many of you that are watching. And we know you'd love to be here if you could. But it's good to be together like this on the Lord's Day and to have this time to share together and to build one another up in our praise, our worship to God. We have some here this morning that I'm really happy to see, some who are visiting, some whom we've not seen in a while. The Northcutts are here from the Creve Hall congregation in Nashville. Galen is one of the elders of that church, and that's where my daughter and her family are members, and it's always good to see the Northcutts. Good to see Colleen McAllister back for a little while. She's been working and living down in the Virgin Islands for a time and is now back for a while, not sure how long, but it's good to see Colleen with us. And there's a fellow here that came 3,650 miles to be with us by bicycle. He bicycled that far, and that's the reason you came back, isn't it, Greg? Just so you could be back here with us today. Greg Schmidt, he and his two brothers completed their trip from the west coast of the U.S. to the east coast of the U.S. in about 2 months' time on bicycles. Now, one of the brothers, we have to admit, was driving a van, but Greg and his other brother, they were bicycling, and it just amazes me. Greg, raise your hand if somebody doesn't know who you are. I know they've got questions they'd like to ask you, but I just think that's amazing. But welcome back, and to all of you. We have others who are visiting with us. Glad you are here, and glad all of you who are visiting with us virtually. Thank you for tuning in. I think we're going to have to say that this evening's service will not be done outside. The weather forecast on virtually all the apps I've checked says 50% or thereabouts. And so I think we're probably going to come back indoors for that. And that means for most of you, join us online at 6 o'clock. We'll do it again next week, Lord willing. We've done it for the past three weeks outdoors, and it's been a great experience. And we'll do it again if daylight and weather permit. But for now, let's get our Bibles out. I hope you've got your Bible with you, that you'll open it and turn to the passages that you'll see on the screen. And when I'm ready to read it, I hope you'll be there and that you'll follow along and make sure that what I'm telling you really is the Word of God, because that's what we need. I'll first tell you about an interesting thing that you can see not far from here. It's at the Johnson City Medical Center, and it's just outside the entrance to the neonatology unit at Johnson City Medical Center. It's this wall, and this is a photograph of the wall. It's a rather long wall. I think Danielle knows all about this wall. She works there. And on that wall are footprints. And you might say, wow, these are really tiny footprints, and that's the point. There are many, many children that enter that unit for many reasons, but one of the reasons is they were born prematurely. And some of the weights that are listed there, and let me just share with you, and these you could see if you could see them closely enough. Faith, for example, was born weighing 4 pounds, 3 ounces. That's pretty small, isn't it? But wait. Ian was born 3 pounds, 3 ounces. Tara, 1 pound, 12.4 ounces. And Ashlyn, 1 pound, 9.3 ounces. And to me, that's just crazy. I mean, a child can survive. Well, they can survive with assistance. And that's what this neonatal intensive care unit is all about. And I dare say that's probably the area of the hospital that puts more money, more resources into the lives of those that are there than probably any other. A prematurely born child may spend several weeks there before they're able to go home. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all of those that work in that unit. But on the other end of the spectrum, you've got children that were not allowed to be born alive, who weighed significantly more than this, whose lives were ended for one reason or another. And they would have been viable if they had been allowed to be born, but because of abortion, it didn't happen. And this morning, I'd like for us to talk about this a bit. It is a problem that we've discussed a lot in the past 40-some years, ever since Roe versus Wade in 1973. It has been a problem that we have discussed and debated, and still there is a lot of different views on this. And I'm not here today to tell you my view, except as my view aligns with the Word of God. And that's what I pray that I'm doing. I'm telling you exactly what the Word of God says about how we should view that life that is not yet born. And so the question that we're going to be looking at, and probably this is the most fundamental question of all, is this life inside the womb a person? It is a fetus. I mean, we all agree on that. That is a word that virtually anybody can agree on. But is that fetus a person before birth? And so again, we're going to see, what does the Bible say? Does it say anything about this? And if so, what does it say? I'm going to begin with this idea that we're talking about children inside and out. Children that are inside and children that are outside. And I'm talking now about the womb. Now, one of the battles on this subject of abortion has been that of terminology. For example, many will not call the child before it has been born a baby. They say this is a fetus or an embryo if it goes back far enough in the early stages of the development. It's not a baby. Don't call it a baby. Call it a fetus. And why is that? Well, a baby is a term that has great emotion attached to it. We smile when we think about babies. We are reminded of pleasant times when we held them in our arms and cooed over them and made funny faces at them. And it's just a good thing. You know, we feel good when we think about babies. And yet, we're not going to talk about babies, they say, until after it is born. And until that time, we're talking about a fetus instead. And others will say, well, we're not pro-abortion. Don't call us pro-abortion. And there again, that word abortion is heavily laden with emotion and connotations. Instead, call us pro-choice. And the idea there is we are all about allowing the mother to have a choice when it comes to allowing the child to live or to stop the pregnancy right there. And then on the other side, we're not pro-life if we argue in favor of the child continuing to develop. Instead, we are anti-abortion. And you see, the change in terminology has a lot to say about how people feel. Because again, emotions, words are laden with emotions. And if we can change the terminology, then maybe we've got an advantage. Well, what about the Bible? Well, first of all, let me point out, there's a lot of confusion on this subject. I found a website, an article on a website that talked about this, and the question addressed in this particular page of the website was, wrongful death of an unborn child, in parenthesis, fetus. Wrongful death of an unborn child. This was a law firm in Sacramento, California, and they were discussing, you know, do you have a case? Is this something you can go to court with? And they're talking about a situation where a mother who is expecting a child is involved in a car crash. And the mother is not at fault. Somebody else in the other car is. And the crash causes a premature birth. And so do you have a case in this particular situation? On the one hand, they say, a fetus is not a person. This is according to California law now, California law. A fetus is not a person within the meaning of our wrongful death statute until there has been a live birth. So if the crash were to happen 2 hours before the child is born, it's not a person. If it happens immediately after the child has been born, then you've got a person, and then you've got a case. But then later in this same, and just in fact just a couple of paragraphs further, it talks about a different scenario, and that is if this unborn child survives within the womb and then is born afterward with injuries, then what do we got? It says the parents can bring an action for wrongful death, and that suggests that the child dies from those injuries after having been born. The parents can bring an action for wrongful death based on Civil Code 43.1, which states, a child conceived but not yet born is deemed an existing person so far as necessary for the child's interest in the event of the child's subsequent birth. Now, a lot of that's lawyer speak, and it's hard to wade through. But the idea is, well, it may be a person. You know, if it survives and then dies later after birth, then it's a person. But if it does not survive inside the womb, it's not a person. And if you're thinking, man, that is confusing, I'm right there with you. And I think that illustrates there is a lot of confusion in our world when it comes to talking about the life inside the mother's womb. I find it interesting that in the book of Exodus, there is a scenario very similar to what we just read about in California. Look at Exodus chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 25. And here, God is giving his people a law about what to do in this event. And here's what it says. Exodus 21, beginning in verse 22. When men strive together, and they hit a pregnant woman. She is a bystander. Maybe she has tried to intervene on behalf of her husband, her brother. You know, we don't know. It doesn't go into that kind of detail. But men are fighting, and a woman who is pregnant is struck so that her children come out. It's talking there pretty clearly about birth, a premature birth. That's the idea here. But there is no harm. And I think the idea here is to either the mother or the child, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm. And again, you go back and it says there is no harm earlier where we were talking about the mother or the child. I think that's still the case here. If there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. In other words, you'll make the penalty, the judgment, commensurate with the crime. Wayne Jackson, who is a noted scholar among us, has this to say about that particular law in Exodus 21. He said, "What then is the passage teaching? Simply this. If two fighting men injure a pregnant woman, causing her to give premature birth, and no harm follows to either mother or child, a fine will be levied as a penalty for such carelessness. However, if any harm followed to mother or babe, justice was to be meted out commensurate with degree of damage. Both the mother and unborn child had equal protection under the law." And I think he's right. I think that's exactly what Moses is saying by God's direction, that unborn child has rights, even though it has not yet been born. That would mean we're talking about a person. And when you look at terminology in the Bible, again, there is no difference. The Bible didn't have, you know, fetus versus a child now that has been born. Now we can call it a baby. It doesn't do that. In fact, if you were to look at Genesis 25, you'll see that. Genesis chapter 25, look at verses 21 and 22. Genesis 25, 21 and 22. Isaac prayed to the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord granted his prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. The children struggled together within her. The children struggled together within her. And she said, "If it is thus, why is this happening to me?" She went to inquire of the Lord. The children are still in her womb. And she's wondering what's going on. It calls them children. And it's the word that is used in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16 when talking about Eve and the penalty that God put on her for her sin. And he says there that in pain you shall bring forth children. Same Hebrew word there. There is no distinction of words that show this child has been born, this child has not yet been born, and so it's not really a child. That's a foreign concept in the Old Testament. Or in the New Testament, look at Luke chapter 1, verse 41. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41, and you know about this incident. Mary has been told that she is going to conceive a child by the Holy Spirit. And the angel goes on to tell her, your cousin Elizabeth is expecting already as well. And Elizabeth went on Mary went to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was much older. And here's what we find in Luke chapter 1, verse 41. When Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And I trust those of you who have born children, you can maybe identify with this. There are times a child does something. You say, wow, I felt that. A young lady I study with by means of teleconferencing told me the other day her child has been hiccuping. I'd not heard of that. She feels it several times a day, hiccups. But in this case, it says, the baby leaped in her womb. This is John the Baptist. He's not been born yet. And yet the baby leaped in her womb. And it says the same thing in verse 44 as Elizabeth is relating this to Mary. And then you also go on to Luke chapter 2 in verse 16. And now we've got the shepherds who have been told by the angels, the Lord has been born. And the angels told the shepherds where to go to find this child. And so they went, and Luke tells us there they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. The word baby in both of those passages, the unborn John the Baptist, the already born Jesus, brephos. There is no difference in the terminology. It is the same word. And the Greek lexicons support this view. For example, Ioannidis' Greek-English lexicon of the New Testament says, brephos is a very small child, even one still unborn, And Mount's Greek dictionary says a child, whether unborn or born, doesn't matter. It is the same word in either case. And so those who want to change the terms that refer to unborn children as opposed to those who have already been born, they're doing it without any support from the Bible. Don't turn to the Bible and say, well, that's what the Bible teaches. It doesn't. The Bible uses terms that speak the same way, whether pre-born or already born. What I want to show you next are some passages, just a few, that talk about a valuable person inside the womb. A valuable person. And again, I want to highlight that word person because that's what is denied so often in our current debate on abortion. It's not really a person. It's just a mass of living material. The Bible does not recognize that. For example, we could talk about outrageous acts that have been done against mothers who are expecting children. And I'm not going to go into any detail about this. It's much too disturbing. But let me just show you in 2 Kings 15, verse 16. 2 Kings 15 and verse 16, we read about one of the last kings of the northern kingdom of Israel, Menahem. And here's what it says of him. At that time, Menahem sacked Tirzah and all who were in it and its territory from Tirzah on because they did not open it to him. Therefore, he sacked it and he ripped open all the women in it who were pregnant. I mean, that's horrible to even think about. And that's what he did. And you'll notice if you read further in that same passage in verse 18 that this king did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's how God thought about it. Opening up a woman who is pregnant with child for the purpose of destroying the child as well as the woman, perhaps. Amos chapter 1, verse 13 gives a similar statement about the Ammonites. It says they have ripped open pregnant women in Gilead. And that was one of the reasons God was going to judge that people, because of what they had done. And I want us to think, does that give us a glimpse into God's attitude toward, you know, just the casual taking of life inside the womb? Does this give us any kind of idea about how God feels about that? And I recognize there are extraordinary cases where that may be the problem, where it may be something that has to be considered, but to do it routinely. And yet the Bible does give these positive statements. It talks about the valuable person that is yet to be born. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, you probably are familiar with this statement. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, right at the beginning of his book of prophecy, he tells us how it all came about. Jeremiah 1 verse 5, before I formed you in the womb, this is God talking to Jeremiah. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Jeremiah was known by God before he was born. Before he was even conceived, you might say, but that would mean, yes, during the time he was in his mother's womb, God knew him and the potential that he had within his heart and life. Paul said virtually the same thing in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, when he says this, when he who had set me apart before I was born, God set me apart before I was born, and he called me by his grace. Again, we're talking about God knowing someone while they are still in the womb. That means a person, somebody God recognizes as having potential of being able to do great things once they are born. The passage that Alvin read to us earlier from Psalm 139, look at that with me again. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, David reflects on his birth, or rather the psalmist, and it is attributed to David here. Psalm 139, beginning in verse 13, he said, you formed my inward parts, and you knitted me together in my mother's womb. God had a part in my development, in my formation, in my creation. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them. And don't you see David there saying, as well, you knew me, God, even while I was in my mother's womb. You had a part in my development. And are we to argue and say God is really not interested in this biological being until they're born? God really doesn't care about them? I think instead we have to agree with what the Bible says. And let me give you one other one. This is in Job 31 and verse 15. And Job here is responding to the thought. His friends are saying, you've done something awful, Job. Some reason all of this has come upon you. And one possibility that may have been spoken was, you've been bad to your servants. You have mistreated them. You have deprived them of justice. And Job says, no, I haven't. And listen to what he says here in Job 31, verse 15. Did not he who made me in the womb make him, talking about his servant. And society would say, well, that servant, he's really not on your level, Job. And Job says, oh, yes, servants are on my level. And he says, did not he who made me in the womb make him? And did not one fashion us in the womb? In other words, we are made by the same God. We are of equal standing in the sight of God. God is very much involved in the formation of that child. Some will look at it as completely biological. It's just a matter of things happening the way they do when the egg and the sperm come together. But the Bible shows God's involvement. And I choose to go along with what the Bible says. And then let's talk briefly about this incident in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. And you know this. This is one of the most special incidents in the life of Jesus while he was on earth. Listen to what Luke says in Luke 18, beginning in verse 15. Now, they were bringing even infants to him. And there's that word breathless again. They were bringing babies to Jesus that he might touch them. And in Matthew's account, we're told in Matthew 19, 13, that he might lay his hands on them and pray. They recognized Jesus as someone very special, someone very close to God. They wanted him to bless their children. They were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. When the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. They said, these children are not worth Jesus' time. But Jesus called them to him, saying, let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Jesus really does love the little children. And when it says there, breathless, I suspect we are talking about little infants, newborns. But could it have been that some mothers who had not yet given birth came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you pray for my child? I know mothers today that are very concerned about spiritual development of their children before they are born. And they will sing to them, they will pray with them, they will read the Bible with them, even while that child is yet in the womb. Could that have happened here? We don't know. But I would not be surprised to find that to be the case. You see, we're talking about a valuable person in the womb, not just a mass, a blob of biological matter. We're talking about a person who has potential, someone that can bless the earth. That's how we ought to look at it. In Proverbs 31, verse 8, this bit of wisdom is given to all of us. If you want to be wise, here's part of what we ought to do. Open your mouth for the mute, for those who can't speak. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. And here is a whole nation who have not been born, who have never had an opportunity to speak for themselves. We can defend our own rights. We have a voice. And even if we are mute, we have means of communicating with others, but not these who have yet to be born. And I know the plight of the expectant mother is often great, far greater than I will ever be able to understand. And I know there are situations where help and consideration needs to be extended to them and extraordinary help has to be offered to them. What I'm saying this morning is children ought to be viewed, as Psalm 127 says, as a gift from the Lord, not as an inconvenience that needs to be brought to an end. We've all been there. There was a time each of us was in our own mother's wombs, and I dare say every one of us are thankful to God that we were born. Then that's the way we ought to view it as a nation, as a world. It is a person inside that womb. And God cares for them just like he cares for you. Do you know that God cares for you? He gave his son to die for you. You know that, don't you? Jesus came down from heaven and lived a life of temptation and hardship and put himself at risk so that you might be forgiven of your sins if you will simply respond to that gift of grace. And how do we respond? Well, the Bible tells us it's a simple matter. We hear the word, we believe it or not. I mean, we have to believe it, of course. Faith is what will save us. But that faith has to be active as well. We have to turn away from sins that God identifies. We have to repent of them. We have to confess our faith to other people. And we have to obey what the Lord himself said in Mark 16:16, Matthew 28 and verse 19. We have to be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. You can do that. You're outside of your mother's womb, but you need to be born again. And we'd be glad to help you do just that this morning. If you're not in the building and you want to do that, let us know. We'll wait for you. Or if you're in another location, let us know. We'll try to help make arrangements where you can do just that today. But let's be born again. That's the only way we can see the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. And if we've done that, have we been faithful, or do we need to repent of sins that we've committed? And if that's the case, let's do that. Again, if you're here and if you need prayers, let us know. We'll pray with you. We'll do all we can to encourage you. If you're not here at the building, again, let us know. Send an email to one of the email addresses on your screen right now, and we'll pray with you. God wants to help. That's why he gave Jesus. He wants to help us. And if we can help you, then let us know as we stand together and sing.
Hark the gentle voice of Jesus calling. Thank you.
Be seated, please. As we focus on the sacrifice of Jesus, we will sing 318, O Sacred Head, and then we will share the Lord's Supper together.
Mask, if you would like, and also remove the top layer to access the bread. I love the idea of God loving us before we're born, loving us while we're still in the womb, caring for us, knitting us together. But I want to go back a little bit further, and I want to look at the fact that God loved us before we were even born, before even the foundation of the world. And that's found in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3, where Paul says this. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we may be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth." And it's that plan that we now celebrate. There was pain in the plan, but there's such a blessing in it too, and the fact that we get to partake because now we're adopted sons and daughters of the Father. Let us thank God for the bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the bread which symbolizes the body of your Son. We thank you for the life that he lived. We thank you for the perfect example that he set. And Lord, we thank you for the sacrifice that he gave on that cross. Lord, as we partake of this emblem, help us to reflect, help us to appreciate, and Lord, help us to have a desire in our hearts to love you in the same way that you loved us. And it's in your son's name we pray. Amen. I'd like to also focus back in on verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Our God doesn't just love us a little bit. He lavishes his love upon us. He is a God that just wants to continue to pour out blessings for us. And how better was that demonstrated in giving up his son? Let's go to God in prayer for the Jews. Father, we also thank you for this juice, which is emblematic of your blood, your son's blood. We thank you for the forgiveness of sins that we have because of this. We thank you for the love that was poured out for us. He knew what he was doing. He knew what it was going to take even before he created any of this, and yet he still chose to go through with it. Help us to never take it for granted, and help us to reflect now upon that blood. And it's your son's name we pray. Amen. We also want to take this as an opportunity to reflect on the fact that because of what Christ has done for us, we now have an opportunity to give back. You have an opportunity to provide the offering, whether physically in the back of the baskets, or bring them into the office, or mail them in, or send electronically through your bank, however that is best for you. But let's go to God in prayer now for the offering. Lord, we know that you've given us so much, and Lord, we understand that we can never repay. But Lord, as we do give back, as we reflect on where that money goes to reach out, to show others the path of righteousness, whether it be to feed those physically as we try to nurture them spiritually as well. Lord, help us to give in such a way in which our hearts are glad, in which our hearts overflow, so that your work and your love in this community can do so as well. And it's your son's name we pray. Amen.
We have prayer requests and by Garrett McDonald. Of course, we all know Garrett. Married to Camille, father of two fine boys. He says, could the church pray for my sister? She's having her baby tomorrow, a few weeks early, and she's very worried. So we want to be praying for Garrett's sister as she gets ready to have her baby tomorrow. We also want to pray for Amber over here. Amber, who was in the hospital last Sunday morning with high blood pressure issues, and now back with us this morning. She'll be having her baby soon. Date not yet determined, but will be tomorrow, I think. But we want to remember her as she prepares to have her child as well. So let's go to God in prayer. Will you bow with me, please? Our God and our Father in heaven, we do praise you, Lord, for being so great and wonderful. You love us, Lord, and we can never thank you enough for that love. And Father, we want to thank you most of all for Jesus, our Savior, who gave his life so that we might be forgiven. And Father, may we live our lives in gratitude, in love, knowing that we can never love you as much as you have loved us. Father, we want to pray on behalf of these two lives that are about to enter the earth in the fullest sense. We know they're already among us. But we pray for Garrett's sister, who will be giving birth tomorrow. And Lord, it is a situation where the child may not be completely ready, but Father, bless this child. Let the medical staff that is nearby do everything that needs to be done, and may this child be able to survive and thrive and grow and be a blessing to this world. Father, bless Garrett's sister and give her also the peace and the strength that she's going to need. And Father, we thank you that you've been with Amber Bacon. We thank you, Lord, that she is doing better now with her blood pressure. But Father, continue to be with her as she gets ready to have her child. And we pray that all will go well. Father, bless Amber that she might be strong and healthy and that she'll recover quickly, that the child will thrive and grow. Bless Josh that he may do all that he can as the father. And may this family rejoice together soon over the new life that has come into this world. Father, we know there are many in our number that are in great need of your blessings. Lord, especially bless these. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing 627. 627, there's a royal banner. And then we will pray and hear any announcements that there are. 627.
There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an innocent prayer we lift it up today, our ransom once we sing. Marching on, for Christ felt everything but loss. For
Let's join in prayer. Father, our prayer is that you have been magnified in this service this morning. Help us to live out our lives in a way that we may glorify you day by day. Give us strength along that journey. Keep us faithful until the end. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.